All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Dalet. We're picking up from Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, five lines up. Actually, six lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara said the following. I think I did everything correctly. So the Gemara said the following. V'ochlan b'tumas atzmon loke mashe inki b'tshuma. So we'll say one of the things we mentioned in the Braisa yesterday is that if you have Bikurim or Maiser Sheni that become tmein, so the halacha is that you are permitted to go ahead and eat them, which is not the case, if you go ahead and you eat bikurim ma'aser sheni that became tmein, even if you are tahor, you get malchus, masha'ein kein b'truma, but this is not the case with truma tmeya. This is not the case again with truma that becomes tamei, even though the person is tahor. If you go ahead and you eat it, apparently you don't get malchus. So the Gemara says, "Loko delo loki ha'isuri ika." Now, what's clear from this statement is perhaps you don't get malchus if you eat truma tamei, but it's still usur. So the Gemara says, "Minalan." Where do we know that from? Amar Krak, because the pasuk says, "Bisharecha tochlanu." Remember again, we saw this pasuk yesterday. B'sha'arecha tochlenu ha'tamei v'atar yachtov katzivacha ayal, that in your gates, in your boundaries, you shall eat it together. Right, the tamei and the tar. This is referring to psuli hamukdoshin. This refers ultimately again to consecrated items that became tamein. So you're permitted to go ahead and halacha lemaisa eat them, even in a state of tumah. So it's dafka psuli mukdoshin. But not truma. V'lav haba michlal asei asei. And Rabbi says sometimes we learn out a lava prohibition based on a positive commandment. And when a prohibition is learned out from a positive commandment, ultimately again it has the strength of an asei. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rabbi says. So now all we've established over there is it seems to be everybody's on the same page that halacha lemaisa you can't eat bikurim and maaser sheni that became tamein. Right, even if you yourself are tahor, but when it comes to truma that became tamei, so halacha lemaisa again, you're also not allowed to eat it. But if you ate it, you don't get malchus. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, "Mireisha nami shamas minha the tana v'shina." Well, so remember again, yesterday we had the brisa that compared maaser sheni and bikurim on one hand, and contrasted it with bikurim on the other hand. Truma, I'm sorry, thank you. Maaser sheni and bikurim on one hand, and contrasted it with truma on the other hand. So remember again, we asked, this whole thing got started. We got into this whole mess here because we were trying to figure out if an orel is permitted to eat maaser sheni. So the Gemara went ahead, and I will say, I know, you know, I got a little bit of feedback about the daf yesterday that it's not of the easiest, but you know, like, this is where you get Torah Lishma. You know, when it's something that's logical or something that appeals, or something that's like clearly lemaisa, okay, so it's a little bit self-serving. When you learn a daf like this, where the truth is you ask yourself, I woke up for this, right? So again, lemaisa, you should know, this is Torah Lishma. So remember, we got into this whole situation by trying to figure out if an oral is permitted to eat maaser sheni or not. So the Gemara brought a braisa. That braisa brought a list of distinctions between maaser sheni on one hand and bikurim and truma on the other hand. Orel was not included in there, so the Gemara wanted to bring that as a rai, but then the Gemara said, no, Tanavashir means that the list was not exhaustive. So Rav Ashi comes along and says, Am Rav Ashi Mireisha, Nami Shamis Mina, the Tanavashir. From the beginning, you could also see that the Tana did not include an inclusive list. How so? Midalo Katani Tapavayin Dalet. Midalo Katani Vinoagin Bishar Shnei Shavua. Ve'in Lehen Pidyon, Masha'in Kein B'Maiser. Because they will say, what else did they not include in this Braisa? They didn't include the fact that Vinoagin, that Truma and Bikurim apply all the years of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. Furthermore, again, they have no opinion, they have no redemption. Masha'in kima Maaser Sheni, where I will say, which is not true by Maaser Sheni, Maaser Sheni does not apply all 7 years of the Shemitah cycle, and Maaser Sheni, in fact, does have pinyon, does have redemption. Shema Mina, what do you see from here? That Lamais, again, the list was not exhaustive. Tashma, Nishtairu bo tzitzin ha-ma'akvin ha-sinas. Well, say, this is Lamaisa, because I mean, hopefully it's not Lamaisa, but we have a bris here today, Mir Tzashem. So again, let's say they did the Mila and they left behind tzitzin ha-ma'akvin ha-sinas. Remember, you're experts in this. We did this sugya already, right? What's tzitzin ha-ma'akvin ha-mila? Everyone knows, right? You didn't remove the membrane, right? So again, there was the prima, but there wasn't the priya. So let's say you left behind some of the shreds of skin of the membrane. So the Gemara says, I'm asking this, Hare zu eino ochel lo b'truma, v'lo b'pesach, v'lo b'kotshu, v'lo b'maiser. So such a person is not permitted to eat truma, can't eat korban pesach, kotshim rabosir, first the sacrificial items, and can't eat maiser. Now the assumption is over here that what's maiser? So the assumption is maiser sheni, my love maiser dagon. Does this not refer to grain maiser? And again, remember, when he's not referring to maiser rishon over here, maiser dagon will be a reference to Maiser Sheni, to which the Gemara says, lo. And we'll say, so again, remember, what would this be a raya to? This would be a raya that an orel, because remember, if you have tzitzin ha-ma'akvin es ha-mila, I have the leftover shreds of skin, so that if it's ma'akiv the mila, that means it's as if the mila was not done. If the mila was not done, I am an orel, and yet we're seeing over here that you cannot eat Maiser Sheni. So it seems to be a raya over here that an orel can't eat Maiser Sheni, to which the Gemara says, lo, no, that's not what Maiser refers to, Maiser Behema. Oh, it's referring to Maiser. I also remember again, if you have a flock or a herd, right, or any large group of animals, so the halacha is you have to go ahead and take 1/10 of that and go ahead and give that to the coin. That's Maiser Behema. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that Maiser doesn't mean Maiser dog, it doesn't mean Maiser Sheni, it means Maiser Behema. Maiser Behema, Hainu Kachim. What are you talking about? Maiser Behema is Kachim, meaning Maiser Behema is part of the sacrificial object, is sacrificial item group. Ulatamech, but using that logic, Milo Tinan Pesach. It also states Pesach, Vikatani Kachim. And yet again, one could have made the argument that Pesach is also included in Kachim, to which the Gemara says, Bishlam Pesach, Vikachim Tzrichi. No, I understand why it has to state Pesach and Kachim separately. So, I see here the Kasha. The Gemara, we wanted to bring a raya that an RL can't go ahead and eat Maiser Sheni, because we assume that the Maiser mentioned in the Braisa is Maiser Sheni. The Gemara said, no, it's not Maiser Sheni, it's Maiser Behema. It's the tithing of the flock of animals. Tithing of the flock of animals, the Gemara says, that's part of Kachim. And the Braisa says that an RL can't eat Kachim. To which the Gemara says, well, that's not a Kasha, because the Braisa also enumerates Pesach. Pesach's also called Kachim, yet it states it separately. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why Pesach has to be stated separately. Bishlama Pesach v'Kachim tzrichi. I'll tell you why you have to state both Pesach and Kachim. Ditana Pesach mishum da'arelus b'Pesach k'siva. We'll say, see, Pesach is different. Why? Because we'll say the Torah explicitly says by Pesach, v'chol ora lo yochabo. Right? The Torah explicitly says that an oral, someone who is not circumcised, may not eat Karban Pesach. Aval kachim emalo, but the Torah never makes any explicit mention of that by regular kachim. So I might have thought this was just a din by Pesach, and not a din by kachim. Therefore, what? Therefore, it must state kachim as well. Vitana kachim, and if it would have just said kachim, hava amina my kachim Pesach, I would have thought, what's kachim? Kachim refers to Karban Pesach, and perhaps again nothing else. Only Maaser Pesach, only Karban Pesach. And why Karban Pesach? Because again, Lamaisa, as we just said before, Arelus is mentioned explicitly by Pesach. Elo Maaser Behema Lamali. So why would I need, however, again, so now if you're going to tell me that Maaser means Maaser Behema, why is there a need to state Maaser Behema by itself, even though I've mentioned in Kachim? Meaning, why isn't Maaser Behema just simply included in the broader category of Kachim? Ella, the Gemara says, Ella Maaser Rishon Lamali. Ella Maaser Behema Lamali. Ella Maaser Rishon Rabbi Meirhi. Rather, the Gemara says, you're right. Maaser doesn't refer to Maaser Behema. What does Maaser refer to? It refers to Maaser Rishon. Remember, Maaser Rishon is the portion that is given to the Levi. And this reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir hold? The Amr. Finally, the Levim are getting a little bit of their share. So the Gemara says, the Amr Maaser Rishon Asr Lezarim. There's a very interesting machlokes about whether or not everyone agrees that truma is asur lazar. A non-coin may not eat truma. The shaila is, what is the halacha when it comes to Maaser Rishon? Maaser Rishon, the Levitic portion, is a Yisrael permitted to eat that or not? Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a Yisrael may not eat it. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Meir, Damar Beperek Yesh Mosaros, we'll see this later on, but Maaser Rishon asur lazarim, Hilchach le'inyan arelos nami chamer. So we'll say the Gemara is suggesting over there that perhaps the Maaser mentioned in the Braisa, the Maaser that an Orel may not eat, is Maaser Rishon. Why would an Orel not be permitted to eat Maaser Rishon? Because it's reflecting the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the one who holds that a non-Levi, Zar may not eat Maaser Rishon. The same way that a Zar may not eat Maaser Rishon, an Orel may not eat Maaser Rishon. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, miditani Rabbi Chia barav midifti, Arel Aser B'Shtei Maisros. So Reb Chiya Bara from Difti said that an Arel is prohibited in two Maisros. My love, Echad Maiser Dagon ve'Echad Maiser Behema. Maybe you'll say, so what are the two? So maybe you'll say one is Maiser Dagon, Maiser Sheni, meaning grain Maiser, and the second one is Maiser Behema. To which the Gemara says, Hacha Nami Maiser Rishon Rabbi Meir. The truth is, again, remember now, based on what we just said, we could also include Maiser Rishon in there, reflecting the view of Rabbi Meir. Okay, Tashma. Tashma. Oh, so we'll say, again, remember, what comes out over there is, we still don't have a raya from that brisa about the status of Arel vis-a-vis Maiser Sheni. Because what we thought, again, was a slam dunk. We thought it was a brisa that explicitly told us that Arel can't eat Maiser Sheni. It turns out that what? That Maiser mentioned in that brisa may not be Maiser Sheni at all. Perhaps it could be Maiser Behema. And it could even be what? It could even be Maiser Rishon. So no raya. Tashma. Onin Aser B'Maiser. Umuter b'truma ubepara. An onain is aser b'maiser, can't eat maiser, but he is permitted in truma, para aduma. So remember again, para aduma we spoke about extensively yesterday, about para aduma really refers to, well, look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, onain muter b'para, tekache b'de kabayisi v'lo kachem is be'achum, atzinu t'vul yom muter b'av v'chol shekin onain. So we'll say, remember again, in this case of onain, so that means pashtos, he'd be permitted to go ahead and slaughter it, he'd be permitted to go ahead and burn it, he'd be permitted to collect the ashes, he'd be permitted to go ahead and mix the ashes and do the sprinkling. B'para, t'vul yom aser b'truma, umuter b'para uv'maiser. We'll say, so what's a t'vul yom? A t'vul yom, as we said before, is someone who was tamei, went to the mikvah, but requires hair of shemesh, requires sunset in order to fully complete his purification process. See, is aser b'truma, muter b'para, and b'maiser. Mechusar kippurim. The rabbi will say, who's mechusar kippurim? So remember, there are certain types of people who are tamei, there are certain who, again, also require certain karbanos. They go to the mikvah, they need sunset, plus on the following day they need to bring karbanos. Look at Rashi, mechusar kapara, tuma debaya karban, kol shalo hevi kapara, so aserba, de mechusar maisehu, ukimisha tum aso alav dami, v'chol shekin tvoyom delay, di ikatarti. Supposed to listen to this. So a good example of this would be for, let's say, someone who was a zav. Right, someone who was a Zav, who had these multiple emissions and therefore became Tamei. So the halacha with the Zav is he needs to go to the mikvah on the last day of his purification. He needs to wait till sunset. And on the next day, he needs to bring karbanos. His Tara process is not complete until he brings his karbanos. So therefore, the Maase, again, that's called the Mechusar Kippurim. Aser b'para, he's not permitted to engage any part of the paraduma process. Umoter b'truma b'maiser, but he's muter in truma and in maiser. V'im isa, now if you were correct, that l'maisa an aral is aser b'maiser sheni, or I should say an aral is muter maiser sheni, nisni aral aser b'truma, umoter b'para u'b'maiser. So I don't understand, if it was true that an aral is permitted to eat maiser sheni, so why not include that categorization in here? Why not say that an aral is aser b'truma and muter in para and maiser? Look at Rashi, v'im isa, the aral muter b'maiser, listni v'aral aser b'truma, muter b'para, maiser ki d'amr la'el, ora shehiza haza asuk shera, umidalo tanya, shmamine mishum maiser hu deshavka. So we'll say, again, interestingly, the Gemara say, well, once you're talking about the people who are aser in truma, para, maiser sheni, you're bringing down all of these categories. So lemaisa, again, why not go ahead and bring in the case of the RL, and say that he's mutter b'maiser sheni. The fact that it doesn't state that indicates to us that that is not the case. To which the Gemara says, "Hay tana de Rabbi Akiva." This tana is of the yeshiva Rabbi Akiva, de marbile lo RL ketame, who treats the RL like someone who is tamei. Also, we had this 2 days ago. Okay, this tanya, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Ish the rabbi says a RL." Rabbi Akiva says, when it says ish comes to include an aral. That will say what? That an aral is like someone who is tamei. And therefore, again, an aral would be usher in everything that a tamei person is usher in. Uman tana de paligalid Rabbi Akiva. And who is the tana who argues on Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara says, tana de be Rabbi Yossi. Tani Rabbi Yossi Abavlihi. It is the tana of the yeshiva Rabbi Yossi Abavli. Disanyo, srefas onein. So the Brisa says that if an onin burns the part of aduma or Mechusar Kippurim, or not just an Onei, but someone who was lacking Kapara, someone who still had to bring his Karbanos, the halacha is Kshera. Rabbi Yosef HaBavli Omer Onein Kshera. If an Onein does it, it's Kasher. Mechusar Kippurim Psula. But if somebody is lacking the proper Karbanos, then Lamaise, again, the Avodah is possible. Not Avodah in the Avodah sense, I mean, just like the process is possible. V'af Rabbi Yitzchak Sover, even Rabbi Yitzchak holds, Oriel Osir B'Meiser, that an Oriel is prohibited to go ahead and eat Meiser Sheni. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayim Oriel Sh'Osir B'Meiser. How do we know that an Oriel is Osir in Meiser Sheni? Ne'emar Mimenu B'Meiser, V'ne'emar Mimenu B'Pesach. It says Mimenu B'Meiser, and by Meiser Sheni. And it says the word Mimenu by Pesach. Ma Mimenu Ha'omer B'Pesach, Oriel Osir Bo. Just like, bro, say when it says Mimenu by Pesach, remember, the Mimenu talks about the different ways in which you are permitted to go and eat the Korban Pesach. So when it says Mimenu by Pesach, that comes to exclude an Orel. Af Mimenu, I should say differently. Just like you find the word Mimenu by Pesach, and by Pesach we know that an Orel is not permitted to eat, so too, Af Mimenu ha'amar b'maiser, Orel aser bo. So too, again, I both say, essentially we're making Gzeir Shava. Making Gzer Shava Mimenu from Pesach Sheni, to Meiser Sheni. And just like by Pesach, an Arel can't eat the Pesach, so too again by Meiser Sheni, the Arel can't eat the Meiser Sheni. The Gemara says, Mufni. So we'll say Mufni means the word is open. Remember, in order to make a Gzer Shava, essentially again, the word must be open for drusha purposes, meaning the word is not used for anything else. But if the word is used for something else, then the Maisi can't make the Gzer Shava. So it must be Mufni, it must be open. De'ila Mufni, because if the word was not open for drusha purposes, Ikala Mifrach, one could go ahead and ask the kasha, one can make the pircha. Mala Pesach Shekin Chayavan Alav Mishum Pigol. Perhaps Pesach is different. Why? Because also when it comes to Pesach, you are chayav for pigol. Remember, what's pigol? Pigol is a very interesting halacha, that if the kohen has a wrong machshava, a wrong thought during the avodah. For example, again, the carbon can only be consumed for one day and one night, and he has in mind that he's going to eat it on the second day. So even though in all areas of halach, we normally see machshava lo havi kemaisa, that thought is not like an action, when it comes to karbanos, that is not the case, and thought, in fact, is reckoned as action. So I would say that perhaps you can't compare Meiser Sheni to pigol, because Meiser Sheni has this chumra of, Pesach to Meiser Sheni, because Pesach has an element of pigol. V'nosar, furthermore, again, I will say, leftover carbon Pesach becomes nosar. V'tame, and I will say, again, the Maisa, Shekin Chayav Olam Mishum Pigol V'nosar V'tame. And if you eat in a state of Tumah, ultimately, again, you are Chayiv. So to which the Gemara says, Lo'i Afnuye Mufni. So you're right, from here, it is true, the word Mimenu is truly open for drasha purposes. So the Gemara says, My Mufni. So which one of the Mimenus is open for this drasha purposes? Amarava Amarab Yitzchok. Tlasa Mimenu Ksiva BePesach. The word Mimenu appears three times in the context of Karban Pesach. Chad Lugufei. One is necessary to teach us just some of the basic halachos of Karban Pesach. The Chad L'Gzer Shava. One establishes the Gzer Shava between Pesach and Meiser Sheni, which Rabbi Yosi allows us to, at this point in time, say that an Orel is not permitted to eat Meiser Sheni. The Chad L'Man Da'amar, Baha Kasov Litin L'Cha Asei Achar Lo Sasei. And the third man, Rabbi Yosi, is there for what? To create an assay, to tell you that if you violate any of the tenets of Karban Pesach, you are chayiv not just for violation of a los assay, but also for an assay. Aidi dechsiv nosar, ksiv nam, excuse me, let me read that again. Ulamanda amar ba kasov litin lachase achar los assay. Aidi dechsiv nosar, ksiv nami mimenu. Since again it says the halach of nosar, it also includes that additional mimenu. And Abbas, according to the one who says that Lamaisa, we need that extra word to teach us that there's a second morning, M-O-R, not M-O-U-R, right? There's a second morning, a second day in which you're permitted to go ahead and burn the Nosar. So the Gemara says, "Aidi d'chsiv ad boker k'siv nami mimenu." Since it says ad boker, which would seem ultimately again to limit it to the first morning, the mimenu comes to the chav until the second morning. Tlasa mimenu ksivi b'meiser. Similarly, there are three mimenus written in the context of Meiser Sheni. Chad l'gufei, one is to teach us some of the basic halachos of Meiser Sheni. Ve'chad l'Rabbi Avo am Rabbi Yochanan. And one is to teach us the halacha of Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan. We'll say that we had 2 days ago. We're there. If you look at Rashi, the l'chid Rabbi Avo, da'amr le'el le'mishri hadlaka b'shemen shal truma shenitma. That Rabbi will say, if you have Meiser Sheni, Rabbi Avol learns out from that mimenu to equate Truma with Meiser Sheni. To differentiate Truma from Meiser Sheni, that it is Meiser Sheni that if it becomes Tamei, you may not go and get benefit from it, but Truma you would be able to. That's the Mimenu. So the Gemara says, V'chad l'chid l'dereish lakish. And one Mimenu comes to teach me the halacha of Reish Lakish. The Amreish Lakish, Amr Rabbi Simai, Minayim l'Meiser Sheni shenitma shemutr l'socho. How do I know that I have Meiser Sheni that became Tamei, that I am permitted to go ahead and use it for anointing? I permit it, Rashi says, shemutr l'socho. So how do I know, Reish Lakish says, that if you have Meiser Sheni that became Tomei, as much as you can't eat it, I am permitted to smear it on my body, right? I could use it as an ointment. Shenemar, v'lo nasati mimenu lemeis. I have not given of it to the dead. And I will say, this is part of the vidui meiser, right? That you, the confession you make. So the Gemara relates this pasuk directly to Meiser Sheni. Says, I have not given up my Meiser Sheni to the dead. Now, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, lemeishu delo nasati halachai dumya lemeis nasati. Right. So again, I have not given it to the dead, but in a situation where the living is like the dead, I have given it. And I will say now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Lo nasati menu lemeis le'al minei ksiv lo vi'arti menu betamei uksiv basriv lo nasati menu lemeis kilomar min ha'meiser tamei lo nasati menu lemeis. So learning out from this. When it says, I have not, this is talking about Truma to Meiser Sheni that became Tomei. So when I'm saying Meiser Sheni became Tomei, I'm saying I have not eaten it, and I have not given of it to the dead. But to the dead I haven't given to it, but I've given of it in the same way to the living. Now, what is the way in which you can give it to the dead, in which the living could also benefit from it? So the Gemara says again, the Gemara says, "Ezo davar sheshava b'chayim meisim." What is something that? What is a way in which you could use the Meiser Sheni that would be the same by the living and the dead? The Gemara says, "Havi omer zusicha." This would refer to anointing, to smearing the oil, because I will say again, often they would go ahead and put oil on bodies. It was for a number of different reasons. Very often it was just to really mask the smell, mask the stench. But the idea is, so the Gemara is saying over here, I did not go ahead and use the oil for the dead. The inference from that is, but I would be able to use it for the living in the same way that I'd be able to use it for the dead, i.e. sicha. Maskif la marzutra. So marzutra says, 1 second. No. Maybe it's not referring to anointing. Maybe it's saying I didn't use the Meiser Sheni. I didn't sell the Meiser Sheni and use the proceeds to buy a casket and shrouds. I'm going to put him to Rabbi Yoshua. No. Mimenu migufo. No. Because the pasuk itself reads, I have not used mimenu. I have not used it, which means using the actual Meiser Sheni itself. Rav Ashi says, Lonasati dumya delo achalti. The Lonasati is compared, I have not given it to the dead, is comparable to, I have not eaten of it. Ma lahalan migufo, just like when I say I haven't eaten of it, that refers to the actual Meiser Sheni itself. Afkan, so to not giving it to the dead, also migufo, means using the Meiser Sheni itself. Va'akati mufno mitzadechotu. But Rabbi Osai, now we've seen that Lamaisa, again, this Gezeder Shav Mimenu Mimenu, from Pesach to Meiser Sheni, is what we call Mufna Mitzad Echad. Mufna Mitzad Echad. Meaning that it's open from one side. Meaning that from one end you have one open word. Honey Chalamandamar Lamaidin, Vein Mashivin. So this makes sense according to Mandamar, who says that even if the Kavachomer is only Mufna, only open, meaning you only have an available word on one side, that you can make the Gzir Shava. El Lamandamar Lamaidin, Mashivin, Maikal Mimar. But also according to Mandamar, who says that if you have a Gzir Shava that, obviously with the word in two different places, but that one word is only open on one side of the Gzir Shava, that you can refute the Gzir Shava. Maikal Mimar, what can be said? Hach Rabbi Avob, Rav Nachman, Amra Baravu Anafka. This statement of Rabbi Avo, you don't need to use up a mimenu for that. Rather, you can learn that out from Rav Nachman in the name of Rabba Baravua. Rav Nachman, Rav Baravua. My dichsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Ani hinei nasati lachas mishmeres trumasi. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, I have given you the mishmeres, the guard of my trumos, b'shtei trumas akasim medaber. Pasuk is talking about two different trumos, achas truma tahora, v'achas truma tzimeya. One is talking about pure truma, one is about tamei truma, v'amar achmara l'cho. And the Torah says, both of those trumos are yours, shalchotehe, both of them are for you. Now, both say, obviously, if the truma is tahora, what could I do with it? I could eat it. If the truma is tzimeya, what could I do with it? Tehe lahasaka, tachas tavshilecha. What can you do with it? You can use it for fuel to go ahead and cook your food. So we'll say, using this logic, I then don't have to go ahead and use a mimenu for that. If that's the case, then what? Then lemaisa, again, I have an open mimenu by Pesach. I have an open mimenu by Truma. And allows me to go ahead... I have an open mimenu by both of them, and therefore again it allows me to go ahead and create that gezeirah shava to say that lamaisa just as an RL can't go ahead and, I have an open mimenu by Meiser Sheni, an open mimenu by Truma, to tell me just as by Truma an RL can't eat it, so too again what? So too by Meiser Sheni an RL cannot eat it as well. The Cholat Meim, so we'll say now, again, remember the Mishnah said that all Tmeim are not permitted to eat Truma. Where do we know this from? I'm going to be Ochre Mishnah Yishmael Makra, because the Pasuk says, Ish Mizara Aaron Vusarua Ozav. Any man from the offspring of Aaron who is at Sarua or Azav, Ezehu Davar, what is something, Sheshava Bezaro Shal Aaron, what is something that can equally be applied to all of the offspring of Aaron? Rashi, now what does it mean, all of the offspring of Aaron? Rashi says, Bezucharim Urikevos. This refers to both men and women, male and female. De'ilu kodshe kadoshim hanisnim mekohanim einecham elzechikuna. So we'll say, so what does it mean? When it says, ish mizera Aaron, the Gemara's understanding over here, ze ish might mean a man, but zera Aaron means all the offspring of the Kohanic family. So what is something that could be applied to all of the offspring of the Kohanic family? Having Omer, I would say, Zo Truma, this refers to Truma. And therefore, again, the Torah is teaching me that what? That if anyone is Tameh, they're not permitted to go ahead, both Kohanic men and women may not go ahead and eat Truma. Ve'ima bechazei v'shok. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's referring again to the chest and the thigh of the animal, which the Kohen is given as part of the sacrificial tithing. Meaning, if I bring a korban, I give the chazei v'shok to the Kohen. So maybe, again, Lamai said that's what it's referring to which the Gemara says, no, because remember, we're looking for something that applies to Kohanic men and women equally. The Gemara suggests over here that chazei v'shok doesn't apply equally. Why? Eina b'chozeres. Because Rabbi say halach, that listen to this. If a woman is married to a Yisrael, and then let's say her husband dies or divorces her, and there's no Yisrael offspring, so what's the halacha? She goes back to her father's home. So she goes back to her father's home, and she could go resume eating truma, but she may not go ahead and resume eating chazei b'shok. So the Gemara says, essentially, we're looking for something that even a chozeres, even a girl who comes back home, would be permitted to go ahead and continue to eat. To which the Gemara says, one second, but truma nami eino b'chalala. But one second, but you can make the same argument. If a bas kohen became a chalala, let's say again, she married a mamzer. And again, she married a mamzer. So now, when she marries a mamzer, she becomes a chalala. Now, let's say he dies. She goes back home. She can't eat truma anymore. To which the Gemara says, no, chalala, lav zaro de aroni. Now, I'll say that's not a good idea, because when someone is a chalal, they're not zera aron. Right? By definition, a chalal is not zera aron. So that's not a good raya. So therefore, if we stop over here, which we're not going to stop, but I'm saying, if we pause here for just a moment, so what the Gemara is highlighting is, when it says that anyone who's tamei can't eat truma, the Gemara is learning that out from ish mizera aron. What is something that would affect all zera aron equally? To which the Gemara says that would talk about tuma, a state of tuma, and you can't eat truma. That is true both male members and female members of Kohanic families. Umimai dahai ad asher lo yitar. So we'll say, when the Pasuk says that you may not go ahead and eat of these sanctified items, ad asher yitar, until you become tar. How do we know? So we dash in that to mean until Harav Shemesh, until the sun sets. You went to the mikvah by day, and you need the sun to set. How do we know that? Ema ad demaisi kapara. Maybe not. Maybe ad asher yitar means that the only thing we could begin to once again partake of the truma is when you actually bring your karbanos. right? Remember again, I will say that would be, let's say, that's not in all cases of tumah, right? You don't have a carbon in all cases of tumah, like zav you have it. So, but let's say again, in any case where there would be tumah, perhaps you can't. It's not just enough to go to the mikvah and wait for the sun to set, but rather what you mamish need to bring your carbon before you could resume to eat truma. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, sagadaitcha de tana de Rabbi Shmuel." Bezov bal shtei reios ubemitzora muskra kosov medaber. The pasuk is talking about a zov who had two emissions, and the mitzora who's muskar. A mitzora, I'll say, ultimately again, who's in confinement to see what is going to happen with his saras. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Zav bal shtei reios lav bar karbonu. So we'll say, remember, a zov who had two emissions is not a bar carbon. Doesn't have to be a carbon. Ki disayim seches megillah mana hakasu shtayim v'karotame shalosh v'karotame hakitzad shtayim l'tumah shalosh v'karbon. So we'll say, remember, you only bring a carbon after three emissions for a zov. Umitzora muskar nami lav bar karbonu ki disnan hasam.
So
we'll say again, these two individuals, the Mitzora Muskar and the Zav, who only had Shtei Re'ios, so both are not Chayv and a Karbon. They are comparable to a person who became Tomei through contact with a corpse. Just like if a person becomes Tomei Nefesh, comes in contact with a corpse, he doesn't have to bring a carbon. I will say, remember, para aduma is not a carbon. Para aduma is not a carbon. He doesn't have to bring a carbon for his purification process. So the Gemara says, haninami delav b'nei kaparaninu. These two individuals also did not require any type of carbon in order to affect their tara status. Ve'ema hanimili delav bar kapara aval de bar kapara demaisi kapara. So fine, I'll make a counter argument. These individuals don't need a kapara, but why can't you say the following? The Tarbos say, in any case where a carbon is necessary to affect full purification, you should not be permitted to partake of truma until when? Until when? So you bring your karbanos. But simply waiting until the sun sets is not enough. Visu, furthermore, hadisnan we learned, taval va'ala, the Rabbos say that what? In this case over here, this is the Mitzora Muskar. This is the Mitzora who definitively had Saras. And now was being purified from his Saras. So he went to the mikvah, comes out of the mikvah, ochab ha'maiser. He's permitted to eat Maiser Sheni immediately when coming out of the mikvah. Heriv Shimsho, once the sun goes down, Ochel B'Truma, he's permitted to go and eat Truma. Hevi Kapara, once he brings his Karbanos, Ochel B'Kodshim, he's permitted to eat Karbanos. So we'll say, what do you see from here? So you see from here that Lamaisa could already eat Truma when Rabosai, as soon as the sun goes down, even before what? Even before he brings his Karbanos. So where do you know this from? Meaning, how do you know that the Mitzora is permitted to go ahead and eat Truma immediately upon sunset? We have three different psukim that are written. Ksiv, v'loyocha min hakadoshim, kim rachatz bisara b'mayim. So while one pasuk tells us that the Rabbah is saying, you may not eat of consecrated items until literally he washes his flesh in water, which means what? Tevila b'mikvah. Tevila b'mikvah. Okay. Harachatz tar. So we'll say, what do we infer from that pasuk? That once you go to the mikvah, you're tar and ready to eat. Uksiv, another pasuk says, Uba shemesh v'taher, v'achar yochal min hakadoshim. Then the second pasuk says, Rabbah is saying, and when the sun sets, he'll become tar, and then he can eat from kachim. Uksiv, and a third pasuk says, V'chiper aleha koin v'taheira. And the third pasuk says, the coin will atone for him, and then he'll become tar, which refers to what? Karbanos. So we'll say, here's our problem. Pasuk number one says, as soon as you go to the mikvah, you can eat of kachim. Pasuk number two says, as soon as the sun sets, then what? You can eat of kachim. Pasuk number three says, as soon as you offer your karbanos, you can what? Eat your kachim. So how do we interpret all of this? Kan lemeiser, kan letruma, kan lekachim. It's referring to two different things. So we'll say again, if let's say the Mitzora, and this is not just the Mitzora, this is anyone, remember, this is anyone who has a three-part purification process. Immersion in the mikvah by day, sunset that night, and karbon the next day. Whoever has that three-prong process is able to eat consecrated items at different levels. You go to the mikvah, boom, you could eat Maaser Sheni. You have Heref Shemesh, next you could eat Truma. You bring your karbonos the next day, then you could eat Kachim. Ve'efuchano, so I don't understand, but how do you know it's in that order? How do you know the first one, the first one, Maaser Sheni, then Truma, then Kachim? Maybe I can switch up the order a little bit. Mistaber Truma Adifa. No, it would appear, about say that's what? that truma, that the, in other words, the least chamer thing is going to be Maaser Sheni. Then after that, ultimately, again, truma will be more chamer than Maaser Sheni, and therefore what? It should only be edible at a later stage. Shekein, but machpaz. Because Rabbi Osai, again, it is subject to machpaz, which we saw yesterday. What's machpaz? Misa. If you go ahead and you eat it intentionally, right, and you're not going your chayiv misa, chomesh, if you eat it unintentionally, you have to pay an additional fifth, pidyon, you could redeem it, and zorim, ultimately, is usher to zorim. Adirabo, maiser adifa, I would say, on the other hand, maiser sheni is more chamer, why? Shekein, hadas tab, because Rabbi Osai, again, remember, it's got this hadas tab. If you look at Rashi, he's hadas tab havas machnas. We brought to Yerushalayim vidui confession. Asr la onin can't be consumed by an onin. Ulevar mimenu b'tuma. You can't go ahead and burn it in a state of tuma. Va'ochlo b'tumas atzma v'loka fine. So I would say again that lemaisa. Maaser Sheni has these chumros. Afilu hachim yisa adifa. Nevertheless, again, Rabbi Osai, truma is going to be more chumra. Why? Because intentional consumption of truma by a non-kohen carries with it a death penalty. Therefore, it makes sense that Maaser Sheni, because it's the most kal, has the earliest time you could consume it, then Maaser, then kachim. Rava Amar Rava says, below misa adifa nami. The truth is, even without the whole misa thing, Maaser Sheni, excuse me, truma is still more chumra. Why? So the Gemara says, excuse me, afilu below misa adifa nami, lo matzis amrit, amakra, nefesh, because after all, again, Rav Osai, after all, amakra, nefesh, ezu darvish hashav v'chol nefesh, what is something that is the same for every person? Have omer ze meiser. I would say that, what does that apply to? That refers to meiser sheni. V'akati hani mili heichad la bar kapara. So also remember, all of this is true when you're still dealing with what? Someone who's not subject to karbanos. Aval heichad bar kapara ad meisi kapara. So also remember, the Gemara goes back to the same fallback position, which is, you can't bring me rayas from cases that someone could go ahead and eat immediately upon Harav Shemesh when there's no karbanos. I just say the simple thing. When there's no obligation to bring a karban for your purification process, true, you could eat immediately upon Harav Shemesh. But when there is an obligation to bring a karban, you shouldn't be able to eat until after you bring your karban. Rabbi Treik Sivi. Trey ksiv bioledes ksiv, ksiv, excuse me, trey ksiv bioledes. Abai says there are two psukim. Ksiv ad malosi meitara. One pasuk says that she brings her karban when? At the end of her days of purity. Vechevan shemol yimeitara. And once she finishes out her yimeitara. Ksiv vechiper alea koin vitahira. It says that the coin will atone for her and she'll become tar. Ha-ketzad. So also remember, see, here's what's interesting. Without getting into all the specifics right now, the halacha is that biblically, when a woman gives birth, even though she may be bleeding for some time after birth, that blood is called dam tohar for a certain amount of time. Which, again, we don't practice this halacha this way today because we have just a whole different system of nida, hilchos nida in general than what the biblical standard is. So the Torah says like this, that on one hand it says, ad malosi meitara, it calls for tahar during all of those days, and yet then it says, once the days are finished, it says, v'chipra la'akoin v'tahira, which so we'll say, we have contradictory inferences. On one hand, it sounds like she's tahar already from the beginning. On the other hand, it sounds like what? She's only tahar when? At the end of the days when the coin brings the karban. Ha-ketzad. So how do we understand this? Kan l'truma, kan l'kachim. Oh, we'll say two different things. At the beginning of the Yimei Tohar, she's already permitted to go and eat Truma. And when is she permitted to eat Kachim? Only at the end of the process, when? When she brings her Karbanos. The Epoch, Anna, maybe I could switch around. Maybe I could say she could eat Kachim at the beginning and Truma not until the end. To which the Gemara says, no, Mistabra, Kodesh Chamer. Kodesh is more Chamer than Truma. Shekein Pnachas, or Pinkach, Pankachas. Punk achas, to which the Gemara Sibos said, so we said yesterday, those are all the ways in which Kodesh ultimately is more chamer than Truma. Adrama, Truma chamura shekin machpaz. I can say on the other hand, no, maybe Truma's chamura, why? Because it has all those elements of machpaz, to which the Gemara says, hanach nefishin. Still again, Kodesh is going to be more chamer, why? Because it will say it has more stringencies than Truma itself. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today, but essentially where the Gemara is ending off is in the following idea, which is, we were trying to, first of all, what we pretty much did establish is that an Aurel is not permitted to go ahead and eat Maiser Sheni. That we've established. And we established that how? Based on the Gzeirah Shava of Mimenu from Karban Pesach. This next piece we're trying to figure out is that, again, we also established, number one, that a person who's Tameh is not permitted to go and eat Truma. That we've established as well. The Shaila is, at what stage of your Tara process are you permitted to go ahead and eat Truma? Is it Harav Shemesh, sundown, or is it when? After Karbanos. So the suggestion the Gemara was making was that no, you don't need Karbanos, you don't need your atonement sacrifices. Rather, as long as you have Harav Shemesh, as long as the sun went down, you're permitted to go ahead and eat Truma. To which the Gemara now is saying, well, I don't understand why you have to say that. Why don't you say like this? In any case where purification does not require Karbanos, then what? Then what? Then you could eat Truma as soon as you go into the mikveh by day and the sun goes down at night. But in any situation where your purification process requires Karbanos, you should have to what? You should have to bring your Karbanos first and then eat your Truma. To which the Gemara seemed to have brought a raya for that over here from the Yoled. That's that in the case of the woman who gives birth, the Torah speaks out Tara two different states. It speaks out Tara again at a certain point in her bleeding, and then Tara at the end again when she brings her Karbanos, to which the Gemara suggests it's two different stages. She could begin to eat Truma already earlier on, but for kachim, sacrificial items, Tara is not affected until she brings her karbanos. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Hashem right here tomorrow, 5:45.